Amen. The title of the sermon tonight is Christians Should Avoid Halloween. Christians should avoid Halloween. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the scriptures, Lord, that are so clear to us. Lord, I pray that your scriptures would pierce and do the work that it's supposed to do, Lord, in the congregation. And Lord, anybody hearing this sermon would have no doubt that Christians should avoid Halloween at all costs. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Anton LaVey, anybody ever heard of Anton LaVey? He was the founder of the Church of Satan. He said this, "I'm glad that Christian parents let their children worship the devil at least one night out of the year. Welcome to Halloween." He said that. And so what's he saying? That's a devil's holiday. Okay, I'm glad that Christian parents let their kids at least worship the devil one day out of the year. Right? That, to me, is just a sobering statement right out of the gate. I think that, you know, that Halloween is a very wicked holiday. I think Christians should avoid it. I think Christians should avoid it at all costs and teach your children to avoid it. This kind of goes along with the sermon this morning, you know, about raising your children and training them up in the way of the Lord. You know, if your kids see you compromising on this issue, it could have a long-lasting effect in their life. You think about the kings in the Old Testament, how one of them would not serve Baal, but they would dabble and let the high places still be there, and then their kids would grow up and be devil worshipers. Or maybe they worshiped the devil, and they did all these wicked things, and then they got right, but their kids still turned out wrong, and they started serving Baal and worshiping the devil and witchcraft. And let's focus in here on verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" And Halloween is a dark holiday. When are you supposed to go out trick-or-treating? When it gets dark. You know, and the Bible has a lot to say about the unfruitful works of darkness. And, you know, when did the harlots come out at dark? When did the drunkards get drunk in the night? You know, Jesus said that this is the power of darkness when Judas betrayed him in the Garden of Gethsemane. When did Judas betray Jesus? At dark, when nobody else was watching. You know, the darkness, you know, we're supposed to be children of the light, not of the darkness. Now look at verse 15, it says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" What does Christ have to do with the devil? What is the answer to that question? Nothing. Nothing. He has nothing to do with him. And who's Belial? Belial is the devil. All right? It says, "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" We should have no part with the unbelievers when it comes to any spiritual type things, any business practices, things like that. So why would we celebrate a holiday that is totally pagan, totally wicked, and flat out is a devil, demonic holiday? Why would we have anything to do with that? Look at verse 16. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" What is the answer to that question? Nothing. God hates idolatry. But what do you see in the Halloween holiday? Idolatry everywhere. People carving pumpkins and evil faces in pumpkins, right? That's what you see. So do you think a Baptist preacher came up with that practice? Do you think it was a Christian church that had that practice of carving wicked faces into pumpkins? No. God says you're not supposed to carve any graven images. So that is idolatry. It says, where am I at? Verse 16, "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, for this reason, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Is it an unclean thing to participate in Halloween? I think it is. You know, and kids just think, oh, it's just fun and this and that. I'll tell you what, Halloween scares the hell out of kids. It scares them. Why? Because everything is monsters and demons and things like that, witches. Do your kids get scared when they go into a department store and they see all these demonic things in the store? Yeah, you can't avoid it. It's like almost like you have to take 30 days off from taking your children to the store because you can't go anywhere without seeing all this garbage all over the place. You know, it's like just shoved down everybody's throat And, you know, I know people that have taken, you know, our kids, when they were growing up, they were afraid of things like that. You know, the scary commercials that come on TV and make them run and hide. I mean, look, it's wicked, friend. Your kids shouldn't be scared to see something when they walk somewhere in public. They shouldn't be scared. You know, and it just, people get this weird attitude this time of year that it's just fun to scare people. It's fun to scare children. I was hearing a story the other night about some people in our church, and some guy just jumped out and scared their kids. Like, weird. That is weird, a weird thing to do, to just jump out to a total stranger's kids and try to scare them and make them afraid. But that's the spirit of Halloween, is to try to make people afraid. Look, and bobbing for apples and stuff like that, it's gross. It's unsanitary. It's a heathen practice. I mean, you're sticking your face and your slobbery mouth and your runny nose into water that other people put their slobbering faces and runny noses in. It's gross. Who's ever bobbed for apples? Be honest. Yeah. Yeah. It's gross. But you don't think about that. You just think about winning, right? But it's a heathen practice, folks. It really is. And God says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We're supposed to be separate from the world. We're supposed to be separate from pagan practice. We're supposed to be separate from idolatry, from wickedness and representations of devils. How weird is it that God's people get sucked into doing Halloween? Well, there's a lot of peer pressure that comes along with it. And I understand that. Some families just think it's no big deal. Why can't you just let your kids carve a pumpkin? What's wrong with you? You're just extreme. God's extreme. God says not to do it. You know, who are you? You're not even saved. I mean, people get advice and cave into people that aren't even saved. That's strange to me. You know, but it is a real thing. Peer pressure is legit. It is real. People want to try to fit in with wherever they are. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, because God knows you can't hang around people that are doing those things and not get caught up into it. That's why he says you got to separate yourself from it. Just get away from it. It says, and saith the Lord. You know, it doesn't say, saith Paul. It says, be separate, saith the Lord. God's saying to be separate. God's saying not to do it. It says, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I'm not sure how much of the lore of Halloween is real, how much of it's true, but what I do know is what I've seen growing up. I know what I see today. And so it kind of matches up with some of the history that you find. And I don't think there's 100% accuracy. I think Halloween stuff's been around for thousands of years. It didn't start with the Celts. It started back when people started serving devils and started making images, engraven images. Because look, it's all tied together. It's all tied together. So I was going to read some articles. I'm going to read a few things here, but nothing big. People think it started, you know, the festival of Halloween started in Ireland or whatever. But here's some things that people do on Halloween. They do trick-or-treating. That's where you dress up and, you know, knock on someone's door that's a total stranger and ask them for candy. Trick-or-treat. Give me a treat or I'm going to pull a trick on you. I mean, that's kind of how it started. If you didn't give them candy or give them something, then they'd mess with your property. I mean, that's kind of a wicked thing to do, to just go up and mess with someone else's stuff, right? Also, costume parties, carving pumpkins, lighting bonfires, apple bobbing, I already covered that, it's pretty gross. Divination games, where you're trying to tell the future or see into the liver or, you know, divine some kind of futuristic thing. Playing pranks, visiting haunted attractions. You know, look, I don't believe in haunted houses, okay? It's all a bunch of garbage. Like, anytime you ever see, like, something on you know, they almost always see a ghost. Well, you kind of almost saw some kind of, look, it's garbage, friends. There's no such thing as haunted houses. I believe that devils exist, and I believe that they trick people into thinking that they are ghosts. They're ghosts. They're spirits. They're wicked, evil spirits, though. Amen. So, and then telling scary stories watching horror films. That's some of the things that people like to do around this time of year. Do you want your children watching horror films? Do you want them watching movies like Child's Play and Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street? I mean, come on. You shouldn't be letting your kids watch that garbage. And you shouldn't be watching it either, quite frankly. Christians historically abstained from meat on All Hallows' Eve. So, see, Christians tried to turn it into a Christian holiday, right? And, you know, they call it All Hallows' Eve. And it was like 3 days of, you know, they just tried to mix something pagan in with some kind of, you know, Catholic mumbo jumbo. You know, Catholics are pagans too. So they're not, you know, they're not any better than these guys, all right? So, but throughout Ireland and Britain, the household festivities included rituals and games intended to foretell one's future, especially regarding death and marriage. Apples and nuts were often used in these divination rituals. They included bobbing apples, nut roasting, scrying or mirror gazing, pouring molten lead or egg whites into water, dream interpretation, and others. Special bonfires were lit, and there were rituals involving them. Their flames, smoke, and ashes were deemed to have protective cleansing powers and were also used for divination. In some places, torches lit from the bonfire were carried sunwise around homes and fields to protect them. It is suggested that the fires were a kind of imitative or sympathetic magic. They mimicked the sun helping the powers of growth and holding back the decay and darkness of winter in Scotland. These bonfires and divination games were banned by the church elders in some parishes. In Wales, bonfires were lit to prevent souls of the dead from falling to earth. Later, these bonfires served to keep away the devil. Okay, so that's kind of some of the stuff where it kind of started was in that area. I mean, but again, I believe that this kind of garbage has been going on for thousands of years. You read about it all over in the Bible. Witchcraft, sorcery, divination, all this other stuff is mentioned even as far as the Bible is. As far as Moses' books, it's mentioned right away. So it was already taking place. It probably took place during the years before the flood. It's the devil. It's his thing. And it's the power of darkness. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Halloween is directly tied to Satanism and witchcraft and worshiping of false gods. 2 Chronicles 33, verse number 1. The Bible says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam. So he built the high places. He reared up altars for Balaam. Who is Balaam in the Bible? He's the devil. And made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said that Jerusalem shall my name be forever. So he literally built altars inside God's house. So he was an evil person. It says, and he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And he observed times, and he used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So you see that he was involved in all the stuff that you see in Halloween. All that stuff. Used witchcraft, dealt with the familiar spirit. He was and hung out with the wizards. You know, we're not talking about the basketball team in Washington. We're talking about wizards that did witchcraft and did evil, wicked things, right? He observed times. He worshiped the host of heaven. So he worshiped, you know, stars and angels and whatever. He was a wicked person. It says, and he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. So we see that satanic worship and idolatry and witchcraft all are tied together in one package. It's not just some separate thing that's totally innocent. It's just like, you know, oh, it's just fun. You know, it's not fun. It might be fun, but it doesn't mean it's right. Some of it some people is fun, the getting candy and the dressing up and stuff like that. But look, if God says to stay away from it, you should stay away from it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verse 6, the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." So, what partakers in what way? Partakers in the things that they're involved in. Partakers with the children of disobedience. And it says, "For in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So let me ask you this question. If you're supposed to walk as children of light, why would you be walking with children of darkness? You know what I mean? That's what God's trying to say. That's why I picked those scriptures, because God's drawing a really strong contrast between the two. Look, this is wicked, this is right. And they're way far worlds apart from each other. And God wants us to understand, you know, what is the right thing for children of light to be doing. Verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Are we supposed to be hanging out with them? Or are we supposed to be reproving it? It says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We're supposed to hey, that's wicked. There's nothing wrong with getting up and saying, Halloween is wicked. That's our mentality that we should have about it. That it's wicked. God hates it. God's not pleased with it. And you can look, you can try to, you know, put a you know, jewel in that snout's nose or whatever you want to do, but it's not going to make it right. You can say, "Oh, it's just fun for the kids." So you want to teach your kids how to serve the devil? Is that what you're saying? It's just fun for the kids. Hey, if it's fun, as long as it's fun for the kids, then, you know, that's just okay. That's a stupid way to look at things. It really is. It says, verse 10, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." What's acceptable? That you reprove the unfruitful works of darkness? That you stay away from them? That you come out from among them and be separate? It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. For it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." What's being done in secret? Look, if you think Halloween is just about getting candy and having your kids dressed up in funny costumes or whatever, that's not all it's about. Why do you think Anton LaVey said that? Because he knows what it really was like. He knows what it really is. It's people worshiping the devil. There are people that worship the devil that do things on Halloween, specific things. And, you know, it says, don't speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So I'm not going to speak of those things. But people in here know, adults know what people that serve the devil and worship the devil do in secret. They're not things that are good. They're things that are wicked and evil. So why would we partake in some, even pretend or, you know, just be caught in the same thing as someone that's a child of darkness? Why would you even mix yourself into that company? It says in verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light," or shall give thee light. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What's the will of the Lord concerning Halloween? That you separate, you don't participate in it. It's real simple. Now, God doesn't want you to be participating in something that's openly worshiping the devil. I mean, it really shouldn't be that hard for us to understand. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir here, but I don't know where people are at. Maybe somebody already has Halloween plans and they're just hiding it from everybody. I don't know. Why preach something like this every year? Because it needs to be preached. Because Christians are participating in it. That's why God even says this in the first place. He said, separate yourself from this. Don't walk with the children of darkness. Walk with the children of light. Do the things that the children of the light do. What do? We preach and listen to the Bible, or, you know, read the Bible, listen to the Bible. We'll probably listen to it too. But, you know, the things of God is the things we should be involved in, not the things of darkness. Ephesians, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:21. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give any place to the devil. What do you mean? Don't give place to the devil in your life. You know, so, you know, carving pumpkins in secret when nobody else is looking. You know, you're giving place to the devil. If you feel like you have to hide something that you're doing, then it's probably not right. Don't you think? Yeah. Halloween, witchcraft, and Satanism has no place amongst God's people. And all God's people said,
amen.
All right. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. God's very clear over and over again. Stay away from those people. Don't have anything to do with those people. You can't have it both ways. And here's the thing. Like, I, part of my testimony, and I kind of just had an interview with Ben the Baptist on Friday night, and he was asking me my testimony, and it brought to mind, you know, that when my friend got killed, he was a tribal member in an Indian tribe. Okay, and at his funeral, they mixed Indian, you know, peyote religion with Christianity. It was very confusing. You know why it's confusing? Because it's either Jesus or the totem pole. You don't mix both of them together. Okay? It doesn't work that way. You can't have Halloween and Jesus at the same time. It doesn't make sense. You know, do you think God's actually pleased with you if you're secretly just taking your kids out trick-or-treating? He's not. He, you know, it might seem innocent. Oh, I'm going to take the cute pictures with the kids. They're dressed up like a little pig or whatever. You know, they're dressed up like, you know, Chewbacca. It's so cute. It might be cute, but God's not pleased with it. That's the thing that you should keep in your mind. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who do you think he's going to let, who do you think God's going to let the devil devour first? Those that are not being vigilant, those that are not being sober. You know, so if you're not being, if you're celebrating Halloween, do you think you're being vigilant? Do you think that's being vigilant when you're actually literally partaking in something that the devil would want you to partake in? Vigilant means keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. Do you think your kids think you're a hypocrite if you dress them up on Halloween, take them trick-or-treating, and then you go to church the next day? That's like, you know, down in a fifth of whiskey every night and then saying, you know, drunk, being drunk is a wicked sin. It's wicked. And you're drinking whiskey every night. I mean, it's hypocritical. And your kids see your hypocrisy. So turn to Leviticus 19:31. Leviticus 19, verse 31. The Bible says, regard them, not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Is God happy with familiar spirits being around? What are familiar spirits? They're demons. They're devils. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Wizards are like men witches or whatever, I think. So they're doing the same thing that witches are doing, which is casting spells, you know, with chicken bones or whatever. I don't know. They do all kinds of wicked things. I'm not even going to bring it up. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. So when you're training up your children, are you training them to celebrate Halloween? You know, that is that part of the training? Well, hey, we're just going to do this. You know, don't mention it to anybody at church, but we're just going to go ahead and do it anyway. Look, that's not right. And if anybody's just thinking about doing that, I'm just going to warn you right now. It's not right. It's wicked as hell. Do you want to teach your children to love evil? Do you want to teach them it's all right to break God's commandment as long as it's cute and fun? Because it is cute and fun to a certain extent. It is. You know, I'm serious. Look, people think that sin is always just, you know, look, sin is enjoyable to people. You know, sin is enjoyable to people, or people wouldn't do it. Your flesh wants to do it, but your spirit, the new man, doesn't want to. And so you got to get control of your spirit and decide what you want to be. So, it's all right as long as you're not bowing down and worshiping the devil. Because these are the processes that people go through in their minds, right? You know, the world does look at you if you celebrate Halloween and looks at you like you're a hypocrite. Oh, I can't believe you celebrate Halloween. I thought you were a Christian. That's what they say. But then they turn around and say, if you don't want to celebrate Halloween, you're crazy. I can't believe that you're not celebrating Halloween. I can't believe that you won't let your kid carve a pumpkin. So you can't win either way. So why don't you just please God and do what He wants you to do and stand up for what's right in your family? And who cares what they say? Because they're going to judge you either way. They're going to judge you if you're doing it. They're going to judge you if you're not doing it. So why don't you just make God happy and don't worry about what your stinking family wants you to do? I'm sorry if I called your family stinking, but I'm talking about the peer pressure family members. That's what I'm talking about. And look, they exist, and that's the reason why Christians cave. It is. It's the reason why Christians cave, because it's peer pressure. You know, you get around your family members, and they're like, oh, I can't believe you're going to that cult still. 3 times a week? You go soul winning? You're knocking on people's doors. You're like a Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate Halloween either. They actually take a hard stand on it. Unfortunately, Christians don't take as hard of a stand as Jehovah's Witnesses do on that. That's pretty sad. We ought to be better than the Jehovah's Witnesses because they're not even saved. And they got the willpower to turn their lights off and not answer the door. So take that for what it is. You know, at least if you're going to compromise, know that God was pleased with you. Or if you don't compromise, know that God was pleased with you. Excuse me. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm glad I'm starting to catch things when I say them, right when I say them, instead of later on realizing I said something really stupid. Okay, 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Verse 9, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So the children of Israel were not supposed to be involved in this kind of stuff. God called them a peculiar nation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, just like He calls us today. And what did they do? Did all the things that God told them not to do, right? But see, we as New Testament believers, we are a holy nation now also. We are the chosen ones if we're saved, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can apply Old Testament scriptures to us. You know, God still is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He still doesn't want you mixed up in divination and wizardry and Harry Potter and all that junk. If you're reading Harry Potter, you're not right with God. I'll just say that right now. I've never read a Harry Potter book, and I never will. I've never watched any of the movies, ever. Because Harry Potter is a wicked book. It actually has real spells in it. It's not of God. And anybody that's deceived thereby is not wise. All right? So it says in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. What's it talking about? We have fleshly lust, things that we desire, things that we want to do, things that we think we want to do, but our new man should not, you know, doesn't want to do those things. And so again, you have to fight against the desires of the flesh as pilgrims and strangers from fleshly lust and which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So look, your testimony has a lot to do with how people are going to get saved in the future. Do you understand that? Just break this verse down. It says that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What's the day of visitation? The day that someone knocks on their door and says, hey, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven if you were to die today? But all they've seen is Christians celebrating Halloween, doing all kinds of wickedness, And they're like, nah, I'm good. All the church is all full of hypocrites. How many has ever heard that when you go to the door? And so when they see you celebrating Halloween with all the rest of the heathen hordes, then what are they going to think? Well, they weren't separate. They weren't doing anything different. And they're going to say, no, I don't want nothing to do with Christianity. It's sad. It's sad that the people say that to us when we walk and knock on their door. Yeah, but we're sinners. We mess up. And I understand that people have their choices and things like that. But it says, where they shall speak against you as evildoers. They're going to speak against you if you don't celebrate Halloween. You're crazy. You're in a cult. Whatever. Blah, 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 blah. But if they see you compromise, that could have something to do with their salvation at a later date. So let's apply Deuteronomy 18 to us. Deuteronomy 18, turn over there. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. So if we're a chosen generation, we're God's people, we're a peculiar nation, you know, these apply to us. Learn not to do after the abominations of those nations. What are the abominations of those nations? There should not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, that useth divination, an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Everything that has to do with Halloween. Everything. And, you know, you say, well, we're just dressing up like Bible characters. You're still partaking in it. You're just being like a Catholic. You know, oh, it's All Saints Day now. It's garbage. It says, verse 11, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. These are people that are talking to devils, trying to get the future. They're looking into livers. They're looking in chicken, or, you know, they're shaking the chicken bones, you know, the nuts. They're looking at the nuts or whatever, and the apples. They're bobbing the apples, and they're telling your future, I guess. I don't know how that whole thing worked, but these are what the abominations of the heathen do. This is not what God's people do. For all these things, all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. All that do these things, do what things? They're charmers, they're consulters of familiar spirits, wizards and necromancers, witches, wizards, all that kind of stuff. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so to do. God hasn't suffered us to do that. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're not supposed to partake with the table of devils. We're supposed to be separate from these things. So, you know, what you might say, well, what's God going to do? What's he going to do? If I'm forgiven, I'm saved, maybe he'll just kill you. You ever think of that? If you just want to openly rebel against his word and say, you know what, I don't care what Pastor Thompson says. He's crazy. You know, we're going trick-or-treating, kids. Come on. Well, turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. You think God's playing around when it comes to what he wants us as Christians to do? Look, he's the same God in the Old Testament as he is right now. As a matter of fact, he's probably more strict with Christians than was in the Old Testament, to be honest with you. 1 Chronicles 10:13, this is talking about King Saul. It says, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Why did Saul get killed? Because he transgressed against the word of the Lord. And for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Well, you say, well, I'm not going to inquire of a spirit, Pastor Thompson. No, but you're hanging out with people that do. You're hanging out with people that are glorifying that kind of art, that kind of dark art. You know, the witches were around the witch's brew with the cauldron and all that junk. You know, I can't even drive through my neighborhood without all these puffy toys that have air going through them, that have all these monsters and stuff. Can't even drive down the street. I can't imagine what it's like for people with young children right now. I mean, I remember what it was like when our kids were young, and I hated that. I hated that they were scared for 30 days out of, I can't wait till Halloween's over. It's a wicked, it's not just one day, it's a whole month. And it's super commercialized now. You know, it's a lot of money spent on Halloween. And so people want you to buy their stupid products. They want you to buy their stupid costumes, their vampire costumes, and all that garbage. And, you know, people are bombarded with it. So turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. See, what do you see in the book, in the Bible, when it comes to demonic spirits and things like that? What did God's people do? Did they hang out with them and go, hey, I'm just going to study your little witchcraft book with you, and then I'll try to tell you about Jesus afterwards? No, they didn't do that junk. They kept themselves separate from it. Look at Acts 19, verse 11. It says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Look, when a handkerchief, a nasty little handkerchief came near him, the evil spirit departed out of that person. Paul was so powerful, he was doing all these miracles, the devils wanted nothing to do with him. They fled, they took off. When he cast devils out right and left, so did the Lord Jesus Christ. When the devils came, they bowed down and they gave up their demonic spirits. The demons flee. We shouldn't be fleeing. We shouldn't be going to the demons. The demons should be fleeing from us. Right? So it says, and certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons, one of Sceva, a Jew, and one of the chief priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. See, just that story of these wannabes trying to cast out devils, they knew that the power of Jesus and Paul and the power of Paul was casting these devils out, and these guys ran into the wrong demon. They ran into the wrong demon and cast them out because they weren't saved. You know? But when saved people come across demons, they should scatter from you. I see people that are demon possessed all the time. You know, they don't ever mess with me. They don't ever come and try to attack me. I had one downtown one night not too long ago, about a week ago. And he got off the max. He had puke all over the front of his shirt. And he instantly came and tried messing with me. And I was with a couple other coworkers, and he was like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to burn you guys up. And I just like, whatever, dude. I just kept working, ignored him. You know, that's the most I've been messed with since I've been down and doing any jobs. I just ignored him. And when I started rolling up my hose, I like turned off the, because I was torching in a crosswalk. And when I turned, it was 500 degree cross. I mean, I wasn't really afraid of the guy. I mean, I was, you know, and he's burnt up, you know. He was talking tough. He was probably possessed. You know, he was drunk. You know, maybe he was just drunk, but he looked possessed. Anyway, you know, he didn't want to mess with me. He's just all talk. That's what demons will do. But most of the time, they don't even say anything to me. But you can tell when they're possessed or talking to themselves or just acting really weird. They should fear us. We shouldn't fear them. It says in verse 19, many of them also, which use cure. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me back up here. Verse 18, it says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. See, the word of God is going to prevail over wickedness. But if you're a compromising Christian and you get involved in this garbage of Halloween, you have no power. You're just a clown. You know, you're just a compromising Christian that has no power. God's word has power, though. You can get people to give up their wickedness and get rid of this stuff. Look, Manasseh ended up getting saved. Manasseh ended up getting saved out of that. I haven't told this story before, but my wife's grandma had a Ouija board that she kept underneath her bed for many, many years. And she used it, and she contacted tried to contact the spirit of her dead son and all this other garbage. And I just took the Bible with her. I knew she was saved, but she still hadn't given up the Ouija board, right? I just went to her with the Bible and showed her the scriptures that says how wicked it is. And she threw it in the garbage. You know, you can still, like, God's word is powerful, and you can get people to give up those things. But if she would have saw me doing trick-or-treating, maybe she wouldn't have thought that way. Maybe she wouldn't have given up her Ouija board. You know what I mean? So 1 John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." It shouldn't surprise us when the whole world lieth in wickedness, but we shouldn't be partakers with them in that wickedness. So why would you as a Christian want to join with them in their wickedness? You shouldn't want to do that. Leviticus 20 verse 27 says, "A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them." It's a serious sin, you know, and obviously people can be saved out of those sins, but what does God say that should be done with them? They should be stoned with stones. Stone with stone. So do you want to partake and share in a holiday with people that deserve to die? It's like hanging out with a rapist. It's like hanging out with a serial killer. It's like hanging out with a sodomite. You know, I mean, and obviously these people could be saved out of this. I'm not saying that they can't be, but, you know, partaking with them in that wickedness is not something that God wants you to do. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So as a, you know, people that are Christians that go, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. It's all good, bro." That's not all good. It's not all good. And I think that I've showed enough scripture tonight to prove that God is totally against this kind of wicked stuff. He's totally against Halloween. He hates it. He hates the facts that children are being scared from it. You know, God says that that he beholds the faces of these children that are put to death and are passed through the fire, and children are die from abortion. You know, God has their angels behold the face of God. You know, they have angels. And so do you think that your kids should be subjected to being, you know, put through these? Look, when you go trick-or-treating, if you've gone trick-or-treating before, there's people out there. You might not have a scary costume on, but other people do. It scares kids to death. And you shouldn't be letting your kids get scared, you know, just so they can go have some fun. That's stupid. There's a lot of fun things you can do without having to go worship the devil. So, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. And if you're that person that says, "Well, you know, I'm doing the fun stuff. I'm avoiding all the other stuff." Here's what Moses did. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She's the one that raised him, basically. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So you can enjoy the pleasures of sin. Like I said earlier in the sermon, sin can be pleasureful. It can be. And why do people want to sin? Because it brings a pleasure to them. But Moses said, "I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Because you get pleasure out of it for a season, but when you reap what you sow, then that's not pleasureful. That's punishment from God. It says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Moses had some foresight. He was like looking forward to the rewards he was going to get for not partaking in the wickedness that he could have partaken in. He was rich. He was a prince of Egypt. You know, the daughter of Pharaoh was a princess, right? And so his son would have been her son would have been a prince, and Moses could have been high up. He could have lived high on the hog. He could have, you know, lived out the rest of his life in pleasures of sin for a season. But he decided, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to separate myself from Egypt. I'm going to go serve the Lord. Amen.
So if you do the right things concerning God and his commandments, you're going to receive a reward also. 1 John, turn to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. First John 1, verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So if we say we have fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness, we're not doing what's right. We're not doing the truth. We're not doing what God told us to do. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, this is not talking about getting saved over and over again. This is talking about when you've done something wrong, when you've done something and you need to handle business with God. If you confess your sins to God and say, "God, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't really think Halloween was as wicked as it really is. I was wrong. I'm going to confess my sin to you right now and just say, I don't want anything to do with it ever again." You know, the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can be wrong and then turn it around and get it right. That's what I'm saying. So, I don't know what anybody's doing in their private life, okay? I'm not, like, spying on anybody or anything like that. I don't know about your secret Facebook page where you're planning a Halloween party, okay? But why should Christians avoid Halloween? Because God said to. That's why. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the word of God. How clear you make it. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be a people that just says, you know what, we're going to do what God says, and we're going to take the reproach, and we're just going to do the things that God says do. I pray, Lord, that you just help this people. Take everybody home safely, Lord, and just pray for them as they travel home, and I pray that you bring us back safely to church this coming Thursday. In Jesus' name, amen.